Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 17. I want to leave one simple thought with you and then draw some other thoughts from the passage. Because you see, the Bible is built, it's put together with a whole lot of little pieces that come together so that it's not a bunch of random statements that are just standing alone and they're not connected to the verse around them. So when you look at this little verse 17, it's put together. There are other verses around it that link together and support it and give you the meaning of what's being said. So I want you to think about these words in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus is the subject of it. It's about the Lord Jesus. You know that from verse 13. If you go to the beginning of that sentence, it's about Christ Jesus. But now verse 17, this is one of the things that Jesus Christ did. So Jesus Christ is a subject, but verse 17, one of the things he did, he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off and to them that were nigh. So just think about those words. If I were to ask you, what did the Lord Jesus do when he was here on earth? We would say, well, there would be different answers. They would say, some people would say, well, he was a carpenter. He built things. He likely made window frames. He likely framed indoors. He would have built the yoke for oxen. So you would say, yes, he built things with wood. That's right. You would say, well, someone else would say, well, he gave blind people their sight, and he did. The Lord Jesus did give blind people their sight. Someone else would say, well, there was a day when there was a man that was crippled. He was laying by a pool. He couldn't move, been there for 38 years. And the Lord Jesus raised him up, and he said to walk. And he did. He healed him. And he healed a leper. And he raised a dead girl to life, and a young man outside of Nain, and a man that had been dead 3 days, Lazarus. He raised them to life. Gave hearing to people who couldn't hear. He did all those things. And we like sometimes to focus on the miracles that he did. And then some people say, well, you're missing one important part of what the Lord Jesus did. You say, what's that? Well, he died on the cross. Yes, absolutely. That's the reason he came, was to die on the cross. What's that all about? It's because there is no other way that our sins could be dealt with. You know, religion tells us today that we have to do something. We have to join a church. We have to be baptized. We have to do good things. We have to do penance. We have to feel sorry for our sins. And hopefully at the end of the day, somehow we'll kind of get the feeling that our sins have been dealt with and we're okay with God. But that's not how it happens. The Bible says that it's through the shedding of blood that sins are forgiven. So Jesus did die on the cross. And he did die not because of his sins. He died because of our sins. He died for my sins. But you know, I noticed last Sunday, there's something that I've been reading the Bible for, well, I'm 53 years old, and I was saved when I was 6, and I've been reading the Bible off and on ever since then, even through my childhood years. I didn't read quite as faithfully as I should sometimes, but once I became a little bit older, there hasn't a day been gone by that I haven't read my Bible. And I've looked at the Bible, and I've tried to study the Bible a bit. And I didn't notice this verse until last week that we read. This is another thing that Jesus did when he was here. We know he came. I've known that for years that he came. The Bible says this is a faithful, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came. We know he came. And he came into the world to save sinners. But this verse says he came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that are nigh. Did you know the Lord Jesus preached peace when he was here? I never noticed that verse. I knew he spoke and he taught wonderful things, but it says that he came and preached peace. Now, what kind of peace is that? Was he preaching about world peace? We'd love to have world peace, wouldn't we? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the conflict in the Middle East was suddenly dealt with. We're reminded of the conflict in the Middle East every time we pull up to the gas pumps. Last Sunday, I put over $100 in my Honda Accord. I don't know if I ever did that before. And so we know, we're reminded there's conflict in the world and we need peace, but there's a lot more sad things than the price of gas when it comes to wars. People are dying. But it's not that kind of peace that it's talking about. The day will come when there will be peace in the world, when Jesus Christ reigns. But that's not the most important kind of peace that Jesus preached about. He didn't preach about world peace. Do you know what the Lord Jesus did preach about? You know what he said in John chapter 14? He said in verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And then you come down to verse 27 and he said, "Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." But he says, there's a peace that the world cannot give that I give, and I'm leaving behind the conditions of peace. Where? In your heart. And that is peace with God. So I want to think just about three things about this peace then. First of all, I want to think about, was the Lord Jesus talking about just feelings of peace? You know, it's nice to have a feeling of peace, isn't it? You ever just get home and you have that favorite chair you have, and there's food in the kitchen, and maybe for men, we like snacks in the evening, don't we? We probably shouldn't have them. I'm trying to cut back, and we like to know there's some snacks there for the evening. And you sit back, and the day's work is over, and you sit back, and you just enjoy a snack and just some quiet time, and you just have a feeling of peace. But I've had that feeling of peace interrupted before. A phone call comes, something you have to tend to. You have to leave the house. You have to go out of the house. The roof starts to leak. The basement starts to flood. And that feeling of peace is disrupted. So it's wonderful to have a feeling of peace, but the Lord Jesus was not saying, "I have come so that you can have a feeling of peace," because sometimes feelings of peace are false peace. It's not lasting peace. So today we're not saying that Jesus Christ came and he preached feelings of peace so that you can kind of say, "Well, I've been a pretty good person and I've joined a church and I'm doing the best that I can and I was raised perhaps with Christian thinking and I've been baptized and I read the Bible and I accept that God is real and based on that I think I have a feeling of peace." The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says the only way we should have a feeling of peace is when there is a foundation of peace. So there are feelings of peace that may not be real and they can be temporary and we can lose them. And you know what? The Bible says in this same chapter where we read verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you are saved." When you're saved, it's not just a feeling of peace, but it's a foundation for peace. And it says, it's a gift of God, not of works, because if it was of works, we would boast. We would brag about it. God doesn't want heaven filled with people that have feelings of peace and bragging about how they got it because it has something to do with me. God doesn't want that. But when Jesus Christ came and he preached peace, it was not a feeling of peace that could be taken away. You see, the peace the Lord Jesus brought was something that nothing in the world could equal it. Nothing could compare. Nothing could give it. It was not through financial security. Sometimes we like to know our finances are in order. And then we can rest and we can think, I think I might be able to retire someday. The bills are paid for this month. I have a feeling of peace. But then next month, there's another round of bills. Feelings of peace are so easily disrupted and taken away. But when it comes to the peace Jesus Christ preached about on earth, it was a peace that could be relied on even in dark circumstances. Even when sad things had come our way, it doesn't mean we will always feel peace, but we can at least have a peace that rises above or helps us to rise above circumstances because it is based on the fact that the biggest problem I will ever encounter in life has been dealt with when Jesus Christ died for me and there's peace with God. And whatever happens in life, I know that if I die right now, I'll be in heaven forever. You see, that's not just a feeling of peace. That's a knowledge of peace. But peace like that has a foundation. So feelings of peace is often just false peace. It can be lost, and it's not what the Lord Jesus preached about when he says, peace I leave with you. So the second thing then that I want to just say a couple of things about it is the foundation for peace. So where does the peace he talked about, Jesus talked about, where does it rest? Well, verse number 20 tells us, well, verse 14 first says that he is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. So the foundation for peace is not a church, but it's a person. You will never find a church that will give you peace, but you can find a person that will give you peace. That's Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world, but he came to be the Savior for you. And so verse 14 says the foundation of peace is Christ. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus. He is our peace. And on verse 14. Verse 13 tells us, but we are in Christ Jesus, and we who are far off have been brought nigh. That's how he gives us peace. We are at such a distance from God because of our sins, but Jesus Christ brought us near to God. So it's found in a person, the Lord Jesus. But it's found in what he did. He brought us near to God. But then how do we know about it? Then we learned about in verse number 20 that there is a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus Christ is the source of our peace, but we know about it through the scriptures. That's why he tells us the apostles and prophets. What they wrote, what they gave us, is the foundation for what we know that helps us to understand this peace that we have with God through Jesus Christ. It's the written word of God. So you want to know how you can have peace? It's a person, the Lord Jesus. But it's what the Bible says about that person and about me that helps me find the foundation for peace. So this morning, have you found the foundation for peace? Can you speak about a peace? I know where I'll be when I die. I have peace with God. My sins are forgiven because of one person, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ, who died in my place. He is the foundation. What's the price that he paid? Because peace always comes at a price. The foundation for peace is a person, but it's a price that he paid. And so that we read also in this verse, these verses, it says that it was through the blood, and that's in verse 13. He says, you were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Michael reminded us of that this morning. The price that he paid to give us peace is his blood, his death for us. But that peace and the foundation for that peace, what really lies at the heart of that? What does Jesus Christ do? What does God do based on what Christ did for me? Well, in chapter 1 of this book, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Do you know that this morning, through the Lord Jesus, your sins can be all forgiven? That's the foundation for peace that Jesus Christ preached about. It's the forgiveness of sins. So the feelings of peace, that's false peace. It doesn't last unless it's got a foundation. The foundation of peace is the person and the price and the power to forgive sins that Jesus had. But then there is the freedom of peace. It's just that freedom of knowing all is well. Freedom to serve God. Freedom to face God. Freedom to pray to God. Freedom to do the things that please him. You know, we can't do that in our sins. Without sins forgiven, we are constantly worried about the punishment for our sins and the judgment for our sins and what I need to do, and it's not freedom. But when we know all is well with God and my sins are forgiven, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have the freedom that a Christian, a real Christian, can enjoy, a freedom in the peace that Jesus Christ came to provide, that he preached about. And so this verse that we have read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, he came, I'm glad he came, for all that he did when he came. The gospel records tell us all about it, all the wonderful things he did. But you know, when he came, I'm glad that before he went back to heaven, he preached peace. It wasn't just an apostle. It was not a preacher that came later. It was not a head office of a church. It was Jesus Christ himself who first preached there can be real peace with God through what he did at the cross. And if you don't believe it tonight, you're calling God a liar. Because the Bible says that God's representative, the one who is God himself, came to earth. Yes, he died on the cross, but the benefit is that he could preach peace. And the scripture says, to you, to you, to you, to you, to me. He came and preached peace. I hope today you would come to know peace with God. And based on that, you can enjoy, yes, feelings of peace that are real, but the foundation of peace, Jesus Christ, his blood that was shed, the work of Christ at the cross, and you can move forward in freedom that peace can provide for you.